Hey everyone, welcome back to But Why the Podcast, the podcast where me, Matt, Kate, and Adrian look at the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you listen. And if you want to support us more, come check out our Patreon at patreon.com/butwhythoughPC. Enjoy!
Talking about a franchise that is way older than I thought it was, Mission Impossible. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And the person leading this episode today is going to be a guy who loves everything Mission Impossible. Matt.
Yes. Sorta.
Sorta.
We're gonna
find out.
Yeah. long story. And so I guess... I was expecting to do the question thing.
I haven't done the question in weeks, Matt.
You didn't even give me a softball of the question, though. Even Adrian nodded his head like, yeah, you usually leave softballs.
No, I don't.
I did not at all. Don't put that evil on me. I'm just here drinking water.
I made a Wonder Woman thread. Okay, so I guess as we always do, we start with a question. And I guess my question is, have you seen the movies? And I guess, what do you know outside of the movies?
I'll start. I only started watching the movies once I started dating you. Because outside of the Interview with a Vampire, I don't like Tom Cruise movies. But then I watched that one Mission Impossible movie with you, and I was like, this is some good action stuff. This is that good, good. I gotta keep watching Mission Impossible movies. And that's about it. I only know the movies. And I don't even think I've seen the first Mission Impossible, if I'm honest.
I just
remember The Rock. The cliffhanger. Sorry.
I don't remember any of these movies. I've probably seen, the second one. Maybe the third one. I don't know. These movies have been out forever. Since, the 90s. And... I'm with Kate as I'm not a big Tom Cruise fan unless he's in Tropic Thunder. but I mean, I'm sure they're fine action movies. You're talking to the guy who loves Fast and Furious. I'm sure I would like them. I just never sat down and watched them all. And just judging by the previews, they're talking about stuff that happened forever ago. And I don't want to be lost in the movie when I'm watching Fallout. So I'll have to watch the other ones before I even think about watching Fallout. But, I'm aware they exist. I don't know anything outside of the TV show. Outside of the movie. I didn't even know there was stuff outside of the movie. I thought Mission Impossible was Tom Cruise.
That's what I thought, too.
Oh, such young people.
Also, I'm just going to Fallout to see Henry Cavill reloading his arms. So, that's kind of all I care about.
So, yes, when I brought this up about this movie coming out, and I mentioned all this, Kate was like, why are we just going to talk about a few movies? And I was like, Kate... this whole thing's been around since the 60s. And she's like, what? I'm like, no, it's been around since the 60s.
Is it like America's answer to James Bond?
I mean, I don't know if that's correct, but it could be possibly close.
Let's talk, and then I'll tell you. Because I actually really like James Bond, and I've read some of those books.
So anyway, so basically, I've obviously seen all the movies. I've seen them all at least probably 3 to 4 times each, actually. Except the very last one, because Netflix is assholes, and they like to... take them off. So every time they put them on there, I have to watch all of them before they take them off again.
Oh, I remember that, because you tried to watch a Mission Impossible movie the other night, a while back, and instead you put on that, Jack Reacher sequel.
Yes.
There's a Jack Reacher sequel?
Yes, it's on Amazon Prime. It is atrocious.
Oh, that's Jack Ryan. Isn't that Jack Ryan?
Oh, Jack Ryan. They're different. Yeah,
don't even get me started on Jack Reacher.
Wait, no, it's Jack Reacher.
He got a second Jack Reacher movie?
Yeah.
That short bastard got another Jack Reacher movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate Tom Cruise. This is going to be my Matt episode, where I'm just angry the entire episode. Oh, I hate Tom Cruise so much. He should have never been Jack Reacher.
Okay.
He had this franchise. Why do you have to be fucking... He's Ethan Hunt. Why does he need to be Ethan Hunt and Jack Reacher? It makes no sense.
I'm just happy I'm not the one going off for
footage. Oh, I'm so upset. I'm so angry.
But yes, I usually actually, before Netflix started messing with this, I usually watched all of them probably about once a year. But then they kind of been messing with me now.
So is Benedict Cumberbatch, Jeremy Renner, or Tom Cruise Bay? Because I can't tell anymore.
I mean, depends on where we're going with the movies, which we'll actually talk about Jeremy Renner, because they kind of all fall in here at this point. But as far as that, I actually knew the TV show. I've only seen a few of it, because obviously it was way before my time. And so
you called us young.
Well, I actually knew the TV shows existed, and I've actually seen some of the episodes.
Y'all are young. This came out before I was even born.
Yeah. I at least knew it existed at this point. But anyways, I guess we'll go start with this, like, a quick synopsis.
Adrian looks
pained. Since some of you guys obviously
didn't
even know.
They didn't even, like, base his second movie off of, like, the good books. Ugh. I hate it. Okay, I'm sorry.
Did you Google Jack Reacher?
I just looked it up, and, it, like, they base it off of, like, not even, like, the good books. Oh, so dumb. I hate him. I hope he dies in this next movie.
Don't be talking like that. Anyway, so basically what Mission Impossible is, it's an American spy TV to film franchise that follows secret agents that are part of an agency called the Impossible Mission Force, or IMF. This was the 60s. That came up with the greatest name.
I did not know that was the name. Yeah. Matt, you can literally never, ever, ever, and from the rest of the time we do this podcast, ever talk bad about Fast and the Furious. If you love a franchise where the name of the people is called Impossible Mission Force.
Well, obviously the movies had to take this from the TV show that was made in the 60s where there was no creativity whatsoever. This.
Oh, no.
I knew that was going to be bad, because every time you say it out loud, it's so bad.
So it's a knockoff. So dumb. So it's a knockoff of MI6 and the 007 program.
Yeah. It's great. America has to have their things and like it.
Sorry. I can't laugh at you, man. You love this series. Continue.
Anyways, they do covert missions against evil dictators, organizations, and actually in later the seasons of the TV show Crime Lords, which I want to mention just because they did it to save money, because I got tired of filming overseas and it cost more, so they just figured we'll just do all domestic Crime Lords to save money.
So how really impossible is that mission?
I don't know. You keep laughing. Wait till we get to some of the people that are involved in some of this stuff.
Keep going.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
They operate primarily by using confidence tricks. I know that's what they use. Apparently that is the lingo, but basically being a con artist. Basically infiltration and high technology devices on targets. Basically the masters of disguise. So all the stuff you see in the movies, basically they kind of took that from a TV show they did a lot of these. I mean, some of the stuff is basically kind of thing, but yeah, it's kind of what they do with...
Oh my god! Was that Dana Carvey movie, Masters of Disguise, like a parody of Mission Impossible?
That I don't know.
Does he dress up like a turtle?
Yes, that's the one!
And then drink Pepto? Does Ethan Hunt do that?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Anyways.
Matt, these are softballs.
I have to get through the 60s show, man. Before we can get to the good stuff, apparently. But anyways, it's part of this whole time, like, basically you're laughing at this, but it is part of this whole, like, 60s thing where James Bond came out in, like, the mid-50s.
And
this
he
came
was
out
cool.
In the 60s. There's, like, a bunch of other, like, spy and crime TV shows that came out in the 60s. Like, this whole, like, ABC and CBS had, like, a whole dedicated, like, espionage, like, era here of, like, crime TV.
007 Impossible Missions Force.
Yeah. It is what it is.
I mean, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to stop now. I love you. I'm sorry.
So for those of you that haven't turned off this episode already.
No, I think they're staying with this. I think they're liking this.
Each agent, basically, as they do a team, is specialized in a special set of skills and used accordingly for the plan they do. At least according to the TV show, and as you've seen in some of the movies, they way to do it. And then I'll
now talk. Now that is different. I do like that.
Well, if you'll let me get to the people, I'll talk about how it's even cooler the way they do it in the TV show.
Okay.
So anyways, we'll get to the first run of the TV show, which was from 1966 to 1973. And then we'll get to the reboot, or the kind of continuation, soft reboot, kind of continuation in 1988 to 1990. It was created by Bruce Geller, who also produced Mannix, which ran from 1967 to 1975. And I mention that because basically it was also another show just like this as a crime drama. And ran for a long time. I don't know if I should. He died in a plane crash. That's about the only things that were really special about him. Was he made these two shows, and then that was it. So the original Mission Impossible from 1966 to 1973 had 7 seasons, 171 episodes.
That's a lot of episodes.
Well, that's why when you guys were like, I don't know what you're talking about, I'm like, there is actually a ton. It wasn't like they just had like a few seasons or like, even like, because even like the Magnum PIs and the Wi-Fi, they were only around for like a few years and then they basically didn't have it much.
Well, that's the confusing thing to me, I guess, because like I know about Magnum PI and Maddox. Or, like, and Matlock and, like, all these people, but I don't remember.
Yeah, they all basically spring up right after Mission Impossible.
I didn't even know
they
kind
of basically, I can't say they're the first, but from what I know, they're pretty much one of the first, like, American shows like this. So anyways, we'll get into the main cast of basically the first season is Dan Briggs, played by Stephen Hill. He was only the first season. He was, like, basically the main protagonist and, like, kind of like your Ethan Hunt of the show. But he actually wasn't only lasted one season because he was an Orthodox Jew who had to leave on Fridays at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And so essentially they signed this contract basically saying we'll allow filming, you know, interrupted due to religious things and everything. And they kind of really had no idea what they were signing up for. And then essentially it just became so hard to work around, so many problems. And then apparently some of the stunts he didn't like, apparently he locked himself in a dressing room refusing to do one of the stunts. And basically to sum it up, a quote from basically one of the producers or whatever, Joseph Gatman, if someone understands your problems and says he understands them, then you feel better about it, but if he doesn't care about your problems, then you really begin to resent him. Stephen Hill may have felt the same exact way.
Oh.
Yeah, so basically yeah. They both kind of had these problems like, hey, I understand you're religious, we're trying to work with you, but
that makes sense.
We have to get this done.
Yeah.
So anyways... Yeah. So, yeah, so that basically you have this guy named Jim Phelps, played by Peter Graves. He ends up taking over. So they basically changed over to Jim Phelps, played by Peter Graves, who ended up becoming the lead character throughout the rest of basically Mission Impossible TV. Basically, he had his colleagues of Barney Collier, played by Greg Morris, Willie Armitage, played by Peter Lupus.
Armitage.
And those were your three main characters that made it lasted through the entire, like, series.
Like, as a group?
Yes.
Like, as a unit?
Yes. And so, what they did for the other main characters is basically they rotated them in. They kind of, like, had replacements. And so, you kind of have, like, we'll start with, like, the women. They had Cinnamon Carter, played by...
What is that name?
I know, it was a great name. I had to say it.
Hold on. I need to see something.
It's probably about what you expect.
It's just a really rich, hoity-toity white lady.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Man, she's smoking.
Yeah, played by Barbara. So Cinnamon Carter, played by Barbara Bain, was seasons 1 through 3. Then basically Diana Lambert, played by Diana Lambert, played by Leslie Ann Warren, basically kind of replaced Barbara in season 5. Season 4, they just did a bunch of guest stars before they finally had.
So one woman at a time is what you're telling me.
Oh, they do it with the guy too.
Okay.
Besides those three, they replace everybody.
Okay.
That's why I said the notable here, and these are just the notable cast. And then they had basically. Mimi Davis, played by Barbara Anderson, who basically replaced Linda in season 7 because Linda had to go on maternity leave. And yeah, but basically Barbara Anderson thing because she was the main character and an Emmy winner from the show Ironside, which is another crime drama in this time frame. And so to get to the guys, you basically had Roland Hand, played by Martin Landau.
That name though. Rolling Hand.
Oh. So played through seasons 1 through 3. And then the great Paris, played by Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, wow.
Was in season 4 and 5, who replaced Martin. Yes, the Leonard Nimoy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I said, wait till we get to this thing.
Yeah.
And then we had Dr. Doug Robert, played by Sam Elliott, in season
Sam five. Elliott?
Yes, that Sam Elliott. The guy that you may not realize is in actually a ton of films. The guy from Tombstone. The guy that plays on The Ranch. That stars in The Ranch these days. That guy. He's like 70 years old, still acting off.
Oh, this guy has been in everything. He's essentially the other Ron Swanson.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I know who Sam Elliott is. I love Tombstone.
I know, that's what I was... Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. He played two seasons in the show. And he was actually set to take over for... And so he was actually set to take over for one of the main cast crew or of William or Peter Lupus of Willie. But Willie was apparently so popular that they finally basically had to keep Willie and they let go of Sam.
Everybody likes Willie?
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, most of them are all dead, except all the women are actually alive.
Because women live longer.
Actually, no, because most of the women are all 10 to 15 years younger, except Barbara
Not
Bain.
Not surprised by that, okay.
Except Barbara Bain, who was in seasons 1 through 3, who is basically the same age. And Sam Elliott, who's also... the thing. So basically all the older new cast they brought were all born in like the 40s, where all the starting cast was born in like the late 20s, early 30s.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so by season 5, everybody that was replacing them was like...
They also usually... I mean, that's still something that goes on today. Like, if you look at a casting set, like, the women are usually to 15 years younger than the men that are casting.
Yeah, I mean,
things.
That's what I said. Like, yeah. So women were obviously almost 10 to 15 younger than all the men at the time, except Barbara, who was about the same age as them.
Yeah.
Had a rating of 8.0 on IMDb. It won 3 Golden Globes for Best TV Actor by Peter Gray, Best TV Show in 1968, Best TV Star in 1968, Martin Landau. And actually, all of the women received Golden Globe nominations.
Dang.
During the time. And the funny thing, it wasn't just one of them. It was Barbara Bain, Linda Day, and Leslie Ann Warren all received some sort of Golden Globe nomination, whether it be Best TV Actor or Actress or Best, like, TV Star... female, or I think it was Best Supporting Actress. They all were nominated.
Nice.
It won 5-time Emmy, or it was a won 5 primetime Emmys, and it won 11 other various awards and was nominated 39 other times. So it was actually a pretty successful show from when it ran. And then a bunch of time went out, and they basically decided we're going to restart it again in 1988 through 1990. And basically it was 2 seasons, 35 episodes, so even 2 seasons with 35 episodes for them. So that's basically a total of 200 episodes, but none of you knew where this took place. they basically set the setting. It took place 15 years after the end of the last season of the first Mission Impossible. They brought back Peter Graves and Jim Phelps again. Greg Morris and Linda Day returned as guest stars to reprise their roles, and then they basically started with everybody else. It took place during the writer's strike, and so they had some problems with it, the writer's strike of 1988. They filmed it all in Australia. It was one of the first American commercialized TV network programs to be filmed in Australia. Basically because it was 20% cheaper. It actually had pretty decent ratings and everything, and then they decided to move it to Thursday just because, and basically Bill Cosby's show killed it. And so
that
then,
happens.
And then they tried to move it back to Saturday, but by that time it was already, like, in the tank.
Yeah.
It basically had a rating of 7.6, nothing else, nominated for 2 primetime Emmys for basically sound nominations.
I don't think people realize how much a time slot actually matters for TV shows.
Yeah, like I said, actually, from everything I read, it was actually doing pretty well. Could have gone on for a few more years, but basically that Thursday time slot just straight up killed it. There's a TV show in a nutshell. So let's get the movies real fast. As what you guys all seem to know, and most the current generation and most people know.
Oh, these scores are awful.
They get better.
Oh, that is right. That's interesting.
Yeah, no,
keep
wait. They get, yeah,
that.
You keep talking about they're awful. They're not that awful as you
keep
think.
Keep talking.
So the movie franchise takes place in 1996 to present day. Obviously, there's now 6 movies with Mission Impossible Fallout coming out basically today, basically July 25th, and I think it officially releases the 27th or whatever. And the first one, 1996, Rotten Tomatoes score 62, IMDb 7.1, Mission Impossible 2, 57 on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.1, came out 2000, Mission Impossible 3, 2006, 70 on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.9. And then
these are actually really far spaced out, too.
Yeah, no, they give them a good few years. And then basically Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, which is probably the one that you were probably thinking of. Not the one we saw in theater together, but at least I know I watched this one with you. At least was 2011. Actually, it's a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes, a 7.4 on IMDb. And then Rogue Nation, which came out in 2015, has a 93 as well on Rotten Tomatoes and a 7.4 on IMDb. And then right now, Mission Impossible... Fallout basically is pulling a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes and a 9.4 on IMDb, but I'm pretty sure that's going to probably drop quite a bit over once it actually
opens up to everybody.
Yeah, opens up to everybody over the weekend.
Yeah. I will say this, too. Like, maybe the reason it does better in these later ones is because they actually have, like, tech that looks good.
Yeah, we'll probably get into some of that when we get to the But Why Those here in a second. I just want to get to the main cast and then get to that. So the main cast for these movies, basically you have Tom Cruise, who's been playing Ethan Hunt this entire time. And Vin Rames, who's been playing Luther Trickle this entire time. Those are basically the only two characters that have been through all the movies.
I love Vin Rames.
Yeah. And then they have Simon Pegg, who plays Benji Dunn, who's basically been in the third one on, who's basically his character's come on and become really a fan favorite. And then Julian Meade, played by Michelle Monaghan, who basically is Ethan Hunt's like wife, who plays in the third, fourth, and basically I think returns in this one. And then obviously you have a few others like Jeremy Renner, Alec Baldwin, who also have like appeared in multiple ones. So those are basically that's the movie rundown. So let's get into the But Why Those of what this franchise does and why it's some cool things about it. So one, obviously a successful franchise. We had the TV show end up being 9 seasons, 206 episodes, 19 awards, 41 nominations. The movie franchise, 6 movies. It's been spanning for over 22 plus years. Right now it's the 25th highest growing franchise domestically and the 20th highest grossing worldwide. Obviously it's probably going to climb a few spots. I think it can get to...
Is this adjusted for inflation?
The domestic one is.
Okay.
I don't mess around with unadjusted ones. I don't need to hear about somebody yell how your movie came out now and it sold like 25% less tickets, but it's the highest grossing movie. But anyways, yeah, so this will probably climb. I think it can get almost up to maybe like in the maybe the 15th at the highest if it does really, really well. But it actually doesn't as much as they're like been successful and rated, they actually aren't like big blockbuster movies. Like I think the highest one is Ghost Protocol at maybe just under 700,000 or 700 million.
Wow, I've always assumed that like Mission Impossible is like a blockbuster.
I mean, the last three they've kind of made it like that, yeah. But also like I said, this one came out in 91.
How much are they made for? Do you know?
The first movie I know was made for only $80 million, and it pulled in about $200 million.
Well, I mean, 150 million here.
Going backwards, 150 million, 145 million, 150 million, 125, and 80 million. And that was Grovis.
Yeah, that's
I don't know what Fallout's is, but I'm assuming it's huge.
Yeah. Those aren't even for like Rogue Nation and stuff, like those aren't expensive movies, which sounds weird to say, but now the blockbuster's like $400 million movies.
Yeah, yeah, it's not bad.
You don't gotta pay stuntmen. Tom Cruise does it all.
Oh, God. I do admire him for doing all his own
stunts. We'll get to that later in our fun facts section, which probably might be the best part, so that's why you gotta hold on to your seats here. Y'all can quit laughing at me now. Anyway, some of the TV series versus the movie franchise. There were some controversies when this happened. So basically, when they went to do the first movie in 1996, they actually asked Peter Graves and Martin Landau to reprise their roles in the first Mission Impossible.
Oh, wow.
But they pretty much declined it, and the cast hated the first movie. Because, one, if you've seen the first movie, they actually, after starring for 9 seasons as the lead person of IMF in The Hero, they basically turned Jim Phelps into the bad guy, and he's the main bad guy in the first movie.
Also, don't call it the IMF. Call it what it's actually called.
IMF.
I don't even remember what the F stands for.
Force.
Force.
Oh, God. It's like some Donald Trump.
That's awesome.
Like, secret agent force that he
Star Force
that he would come up with, like that's like literally something.
I mean, he was pretty much born in that era, so I mean he was born in that era. I'm pretty sure, so probably. Anyways, basically Jim Phelps turned it down because he didn't want to be the bad guy after basically being the lead of this franchise, being the good guy, and all of a sudden they're like, we're gonna make you the bad guy.
That makes sense. Like, and if I put like so many years of my life into this thing, and then they're like, oh, and you're the bad guy, and Tom Cruise is gonna come in here and play the good guy.
Well, Tom Cruise was working under Jim Phelps, so they wanted him as the older guy. If you've ever seen the movie, basically Jim Phelps is the old, basically,
just said he's a bad guy.
Well,
sorry.
Have you ever watched a spy movie?
Double cross.
Literally, that's what happens. Basically, Jim Phelps is the old guy, which they ended up getting John Voight, I believe, to play him. He basically is the mentor of Tom Cruise and his team and whatnot. And then basically the reason Martin Landau didn't want to be in there because they basically wanted him to come reprise his role and then they were going to immediately kill him.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to be there either.
But anyway, so that's why he didn't want to go. Which basically, if you watch the first movie and can remember back that far, that's basically what they do. They basically suicide the original Tom Cruise's original team, which then you find out Jim Phelps basically did at the end of the movie.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so basically they took Jim Phelps, spent all 9 of his seasons, and turned him into a bad guy. He was the face of the franchise, and now he's a bad guy.
That would make me mad.
Yeah. And so obviously this upset a lot of the original fan base and obviously all of the cast and whatnot. Basically, I believe it was Greg Morris, right before he died, watched the movie like maybe like a month or two before he died. He's like, oh, I hate this movie,
gosh.
And he died.
It was so awful, I died.
Yeah. I think it was either him or Martin that actually did that.
Yeah, no disrespect to him.
Yeah. No, but that is weird, because like I said, that was like, because basically if you read his obituary or like that's literally what it says like at the end. Yeah, they asked him to do this thing, or he went to go see the movie, he said how much he hated it, and then he died a few months later, and you're like, okay.
Wow.
Wow.
No bueno. Yeah.
which basically kind of what you were talking about here. The TV series was basically the spy espionage, like mind games and everything else. And obviously in the TV show, from what I read and what I remember, they don't actually ever kill anybody. So people may die, but the actual agents don't ever like go and kill anybody.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's all basically like spy thing, infiltration, like we're gonna go in here like somewhat a heist or pull a con, you know, and do this and then leave. Or get somebody killed but then leave. Like they like no
trace.
They
never actually do it themselves.
Yeah. And so basically that was one of the problems a lot of them have, because they basically, if you've seen all that Mission Impossible, they're more of like action movies.
Yeah.
And that's totally not like what they had in the TV show. So basically some of they're technically in the same universe, but obviously the cast and original fan base pretty much just owns bringing them together, even though, like I said, they have some of the... There's a lot of references. A lot of the stuff is from the TV show.
So if I go back and watch the first movies, am I going to hear the words Impossible Missions Force?
Yes. So they start out with that, and then I think in the later movies, they actually move away from it. And that's why it's always IMF. And they hardly ever...
Wait, but... It is still called the Impossible Missions Force.
Yeah, everything else is pretty insane. Yeah, they're IMF. That's why they call them themselves IMF. And if you ever look at it, that's what
makes me so happy.
Yeah, no, it's still everything's the same. Which kind of leads to this whole debate, which we kind of seen with some other movies, like I kind of want to know and talk about, was this whole like spy versus action movie. Because obviously the original cast didn't like in a lot of these movies. But we've kind of seen these kind of like almost spy and other types of movies turn into almost these action-type, blockbuster-type movies that you guys were talking about. Like, we've seen it in Mission Impossible. We've seen it somewhere in the later James Bond's, why some of the older people don't like it. We've seen it in Star Trek.
Are you talking about specifically action movies to spy movies or anything to
Well, what I'm talking about is these action-based movies that were over, not like the original concepts.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've seen it in some of the style movies, but
you
it actually goes
Jurassic over, Park in there.
Kind of. But yeah, basically you have seen in Star Trek, in the newer movies.
Yeah.
The Bourne trilogy, I'm not really necessarily agree with that
they
one,
feel
but
the same.
But they all felt, to me, they all felt the same, but apparently some people really think that the last two are kind of more action movies than the first one or so. It can even be seen in the Fast and the Furious if you watch the first two movies versus like what we get now.
The first three.
Yeah, nobody counts
Tokyo
the third
Drift.
One.
Tokyo Drift is.
And then I'm sure I'm missing
underrated.
Some others.
Yeah. Right? Tokyo Drift is amazing. Yeah.
But anyways, but I'm sure I'm missing some others, but I just didn't know what you guys thought about, if you think it's a problem or anything, or you like this more action-based versus, like, these other... Because I actually like the first two Fast and the Furious movies, and I can't stand what they put out now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think it just has to do with your preferences. Like, so, if I'm completely honest, like, a lot of these movies and, like, the spy genre itself is, like, freaking horrible for, like four women and two women. And so, for me, it's a lot more palatable to watch, like, the later movies where it's heavier action, because I don't see that as much than if I watch like the other ones, right? Because it's not necessarily so story driven. I'm just watching it to see people hit each other, and that's all I really care about, because I want to go there for the action. Whereas like the other pieces is, and we'll do a James Bond episode eventually, but like I love James Bond, but some of the stuff is extremely cringy, and it was cringy even when I was little. But, like, this new Daniel Craig, like, he's still, like, at his heart, like, what James Bond has been, but, like, the fact that there's so much action-packed stuff to it, I mean, and they genuinely do better on that front, but, like, I don't know, I think it makes it easier, and I think that the reason the studios are doing it is because it's more palatable.
Right.
For a lot of people.
Well, yeah,
what?
I was going to say, yeah, because we're stupid. We have short attention spans.
Well, I don't think it's because
well,
we're all
that's
stupid.
Why I didn't say that. I'm trying not to be asked me.
Yeah. No, like, I think it's just because it makes it palatable. It widens the audience that can come see your movie. It widens the amount of money you can come see your movie, because I don't think a lot of people understand that, like, when it comes to it, like, if you don't appeal to women, you're missing out on 40% of revenue for movies, if not more, depending on who's, what study you look at and who's purchasing the tickets. I don't know. I love action movies. I love seeing things blow up. That's why I'm going to the to Fallout. I'm gonna see a whole bunch of explosions and Tom Cruise getting hit by cars.
So I don't mind the Mission Impossible the way they've gone. The Star Trek, I don't mind. I don't like the Fast and the Furious. The Bourne trilogy has never bothered me.
The Star Trek, I do mind.
But I was going to talk about this. Like, I like a lot of the older Bond movies because it's a lot of conversation, story-driven, and there's not as much. Like I said, I guess to me, I think about, like, when you watch, like, spy things, you don't, I guess you don't see people don't take as many, your goal is to not get caught and not take as many chances, not let's start a gunfight at every chance you can.
No, no, I completely,
which makes it, like, a lot of those.
And I completely agree there, and, like, I'm not going to ever knock anybody for liking James Bond, because, like, those movies weren't, like, I was not the target movie, audience for those movies, right? But I can definitely see what you're saying. Like, it's more about, like, how do I get out of this situation than how do I make the biggest explosion to get out of the situation?
I mean, the difference, like, when we played, well, I guess Assassin's Creed, but I played a lot of Hitman, too, was basically the whole goal was to basically get in there, you take your car, get out, you leave. Yeah. Or you have other people, like, I'm going to grab the rocket launcher.
That's me. But yeah, no, I mean, I like the only, with the ones that you mentioned, the only one I have a problem being, not a problem, because I still like enjoy Chris Pine and stuff in the new Star Trek movies, but it's not really Star Trek, because I care about like the interplay of characters and the dialogue and the moral questions, and Star Trek is Fast and the Furious in space now.
But I mean, I don't have a problem really with any of these. The only ones I don't really watch Mission Impossible, because I don't like Tom Cruise, obviously. But like, if you interchange like plots in most of these movies, you get the exact same movie. So I don't buy the, because like something crazy happens and something falls out of a plane and everybody's okay. That happened in the last James Bond movie. That happened in the last Mission Impossible movie. That happened in the last Fast and the Furious movie. Like, it's just, like, dumb action movie stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I think they've
all done. And I think the biggest reason why they do it...
Like, the original James Bond, like, a lot of that wasn't taken
place. Yeah, I mean, I think the reason why they do it is just because it's just more fun to watch that in the summer than James Bond. Like, old-school James Bond being, like, a misogynist, like, to women. Like, I think... It's more fun to watch Daniel Craig punch stuff than him, like, seducing women in a very creepy way.
Yeah. And, like, and that's the thing, too. Like, it's weird, because, like, I've seen some people, like, get kind of mad that you don't have that. But Daniel Craig totally gets laid in all these movies multiple times. Yeah. It's still there. He's still a ladies' man. It's just not really creepy.
And then I think, like, just the biggest factor is just, I mean, if you look at the last, what, even if you just look at, like, the last, like, four Fast and the Furious movies, that's, like, $4 billion. Last two, like, almost $3 billion. That's why they moved away from, you know, the car thing being, like, the focus.
Yeah. I mean, it's why Transformers still makes money, even though it's completely awful.
Actually, the last one didn't make money, so I'm kind of hoping they just stop it. Yeah, that movie flopped.
Okay, awesome. Because I saw it on Amazon Prime. It was terrible.
It is bad. It is bad, and that's coming from me. I had a lot of trouble watching that movie. Like, nothing could save that movie.
All I know is I watched like 20 minutes of it and it didn't really make a lot of sense.
No,
I was like,
it's off, really,
it's off
the rails.
And I was like, I'm out.
It's off the rails.
The only thing I liked was the baby Triceratops transformer in the hut.
Yeah, not good. But I didn't watch like the original Mission Impossible, obviously, because I'm not, you know, in my 50s.
You'd be in your 70s at this point.
So, Matt, are you in your 70s?
No. Like I said, I've only seen a few episodes and everything of it. And the concept stuff, like, of it. But I've not really watched the TV show. I don't even know where I'd be able to find it.
That's my point. Like, I don't have anything to compare it to other than stupid Tom Cruise. So, like, I'm okay with it being what it is, because all I've actually known it being what it, like, that's all I've known is that.
Well, that's why I tried to bring in some of the other franchises of this concept, because it'd be more of ones you guys would know and seen some of the other
stuff. I mean, I think, too, like, I think it just goes back to, like, the age-old thing. Like, I don't want people touching my stuff.
Yeah, that's what it is.
like that type of thing. That's essentially what it comes down to. Like, it could be good changes and people will still get like frustrated. Like, I don't like a lot of the changes in the Star Trek movies, but I'm not gonna like ram them for them. Like, I understand what they're doing and why they're doing it.
As Star Trek, like, I'm fine with what it is, just because that's what I expect when I go into them now. Like, after the second one, for sure. Because the first one was pretty good. Like, there's lots of really great moral questions there. It wasn't as action-packed.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, said, all right, we're just going to redo Wrath of Khan. And then this last one was basically just Beastie Boys over and over again. With, like...
Fast and the Furious in space.
I mean, it wasn't that good. But, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't what I was expecting. So, like, I think to your point, Matt, is like, as long as they stick with what they're changing to and they just kind of roll with it, kind of in the way like Fast and the Furious has just said, like, no, we're just going full tilt into this dumb popcorn movie realm, then I'm all right with it. But if you like try to change it just drastically and then you kind of flip flop, I mean, if you're gonna mess something up, like, mess it up full go.
And I mean, and I think too, like, if you actually look at it, like, if you take James Bond in perspective, like, it makes sense for them to do those changes because each Bond is different depending. Like, Sean Connery Bond is awful.
Don't you dare talk about Sean Connery like that.
Matt, he's a real life woman beater and his Bond is awful.
He's never died in a movie.
Oh, he hasn't?
Almost, no. Yeah. He's almost died multiple times.
Yeah.
But he's never died.
Yeah. Pierce Brosnan's. I actually kind of like Pierce Brosnan's. Daniel Craig, Roger Moore. Like, they're all different types of Bond. So for them, I think that it's less felt and it's more understood.
I think the main problem, especially with the Mission Impossible one, they were literally trying to get the original character to reprise their roles.
Yeah.
To then, like I said, basically turn one character bad or just change the whole thing. Like, it's not like they were making them completely different or changing everything.
Yeah. So I could see where, like, if that changes drastically and you're not adding, changing, or, like, doing different characters and actors, then I can definitely see how.
So have you guys, so you've seen all the movies, correct?
Which ones?
All the Mission Impossibles.
No. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen the first Mission Impossible.
Okay. Adrian, have you seen
all of them? No, I've seen, like, the first, like, two.
Oh my gosh.
Your first question to me, Matt, and I told you I have no idea what's going on in this
episode. I know, whatever. I couldn't remember. It was a long time ago. You guys were laughing at me this whole
time. Oh, don't worry. I'm still going to be laughing at you. There's still a lot more laughs to go.
I'll go over the movies and we'll see how it goes. So, actually, the first Mission Impossible is probably the closest it is. And so, it's actually more of like a spy movie, not as much action, even though it is more of an action thriller. But it's more of like the 90s. It's not quite, definitely not overblown.
Question.
Yes.
Is this the one with the cliff?
No.
Okay, then this is not the one I've seen.
No. Anyways, this movie, unfortunately, is not that bad, except it does not hold up and is awful to watch now. It's so hard to... Okay, it's not awful, it's so hard, because, like, a flip phone back then was, like, extreme technology.
So it's dated. Like, it's something that it's not a timeless movie.
Yeah, no, the technology does not hold up whatsoever, because, I mean, your smartphone is, like, 20 times better than what they're using in that movie as, like, advanced technology.
I mean,
technically they got to the moon with less than our stuff.
It's hard to watch.
I mean, I guess, like, a lot of stuff is it that they really do. That bad? Because, like, what does it come out in, like, 96? Like...
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Oh, okay.
The Razer to them is, like, an
amazing
thing.
The Razer was an amazing thing.
You still had, like, big computers.
In 1996, the Razer was
an amazing thing. Yeah, but... Well, I know that. I'm talking about watching it now.
Is it worse than Robert Downey Jr.'s tech in the first Iron Man
movie? Oh, we got the sideways phone? I had that, and it was actually amazing. Yeah. So, like...
I don't think that one's as bad as this movie to watch. Some of the stuff is really bad to watch. It's just hard. The second movie is awful.
Now that I'm, like, trying to, like, go back and, like, look the plot, I think the second one is why I stopped watching them, because it was just bad.
Okay, so
the second one
starts open with the rock climbing thing, which Tom Cruise climbed that damn rock. But that one is basically this whole weird, it's almost like basically a crime lord, like, weird movie that has nothing to do with Mission Impossible at all. I personally hate it. I've seen a lot of, like, the articles blow up saying trying to defend it and stuff. Basically, this movie did bad to where it killed all the movie product, or all the money for the third movie.
Oh, wow.
Because the third movie is actually probably one of my favorites, and it's actually pretty good.
What's that one?
Basically, they're doing with, like, nanotechnology, and they insert, like, bombs in your head, and they blow up, and it's
crazy. That one's J.J. Abrams. That one must be good.
Yes, which we'll get to him later in this thing. But, yeah, that one's actually pretty cool. And then you obviously have Ghost Protocol, which you have basically
the that one, one's really good.
Yes, that one's actually really good and starts this upward turn where they basically they start embracing as action movies and the thing.
That's why I watched it because we had tickets for Rogue Nation and you told me to watch that one.
Yeah. So basically after that, also the third one's cool because they introduced Simon Pegg and what they've done with this character from the third one, I don't know what obviously in this movie, but to what they've done in the last like 3, 4, and 5, it's actually pretty cool what they've done with this character.
I love Simon Pegg.
They definitely, he gets a nice little like progression in each movie. So it'll be nice to see what he does with this movie. Like in the third one, he's basically this computer nerd who's like, I can't go outside. I don't know what I'm doing.
And now he's doing missions and shit.
Yeah. And then the fourth one is Ghost. Was the fourth one is Rogue Nation, right?
Yes.
Fourth one is Ghost Protocol, and then Rogue Nation, and then Fallout.
Rogue Nation.
So Ghost Protocol is 4.
Yes, my bad. Ghost Protocol is 4. Rogue Nation 5. Yeah, they switched up the dang names, so I get confused now. Rogue Nation, that was pretty good. That one's actually not that bad. And then obviously we've seen that one, and then we have this one coming out.
The trailers for Fallout look insanely amazing. Yes. And they did that like what is it? I don't know who the band is, but, like, I hear them on the radio all the time. Like, did, like, a fade-in with, like, the Mission Impossible theme song. Yes. And it was so good. Like, yeah. I'm down.
Which kind of leads into the next point of basically why is Mission Impossible actually known or iconic or anything besides, obviously, you guys, even if you didn't know their TV show or Tom Cruise, basically that theme song.
Oh, yeah.
So, basically, theme song is basically then the intro. Obviously, you have the match lights the fuse, and the fuse going through the intro and whatnot, and it kind of done it.
Oh, and this will self-destruct.
Well, I haven't got to that part, but thanks for jumping the gun again, as usual, if you'd read the notes.
Were you just talking about the theme song?
Yes.
Okay, talk about the theme
song. So the theme song, basically, it's iconic. IGN had it ranked as, like, the fifth top TV theme song. It's been ranked as at 8. Obviously, it's been buying a majority of TV
theme songs. So is this the same is the theme song of the movie the same thing from the TV show?
So, pretty much, except I think one of the chords is different.
Okay. And but, like, if I heard both of them next to each other, I would assume that
unless you're a musician, probably not. You might be able to tell a little bit, but you wouldn't be able to tell. I think one they said is, like, the original one played in a 5/4 like note, and the other one's a 4/4. Which I'm not even sure exactly music. But, I mean, obviously, as the later movies, the movies go on, they kind of, like, start, like, mixing them with them. Which then kind of leads to a lot of the parodies they've done with a lot of the shows and, like, the TV shows. Basically, anytime you see, like, we have to go on a mission, like, whether it's a cartoon or something, they kind of do a parody of spin of, like, something with this.
And be lowered from the ceiling?
Yes. So all those cool things were in the TV show.
Can somebody Photoshop a picture of all three of us being lowered into like a on top of a laser?
I don't know the theme song, Matt. Can you tell me what it is? Can you hum it for me?
I mean, I'm not gonna hum it. Kate was already humming it.
Damn it, man! Come on, man.
Which leads to the best part.
He's just not as excited as you are when you go into your favorite.
Everyone's theme song. Done their favorite theme songs on this podcast. You gotta hum it.
But it's not my favorite theme song, as I say here. Basically, I played this song, Guitar Hero. It wasn't that great to play, but it was cool. The James Bond theme song is way more fun to play on Guitar Hero.
See, I don't even know the James Bond theme song.
I probably couldn't sing it, but I know when I hear it. It's weird. It's been so long. Because James Bond, to me, I haven't watched the last few, because they kind of have moved away from like a lot of the stuff, and I like the old with the dialogue and the cool
stuff. You just haven't watched the last one. We haven't watched Spectre.
I know, it's also been quite a few years since that. But Daniel Craig, still not my favorite Bond, though.
Idris Elba's mine.
Also, basically, there's a lot of cool techno versions of basically both those theme songs. Da-da-da. Back when techno was cool in like the early 2000s.
Dubstep.
Which leads to the second part that Kate tried to jump the gun on, the self-destruct missions. Their signature, basically, they receive some weird tape or something that usually says, good morning, afternoon, evening, Mr. Obviously, the show Briggs or Phelps, or nowadays.
Good morning, Mr. Hunt.
Mr. Hunt, you know, and then it basically explains the situation, you know, dire crisis, and then says basically your mission. Ethan, should you.
You need to use, like, a real voice for it.
That guy's actually, I think, been played, like, so much stuff. The tape, the guy that did the tape voice. He actually reprised his role.
A woman, didn't they?
I don't know about in the later movies, but I'm talking about, like, in the TV shows. That's, like, the same
I just
guy
like the first name on here. Your mission, Dan.
Yeah, well, his name was Dan Briggs.
I know, but Dan.
Anyways, your mission, Ethan, should you decide to accept it or something like that?
Should you choose to accept it? Yeah. See, I haven't seen all the movies, but I know that. Cause it's
well,
like
that's what I'm saying.
Everything.
Like, it's a timely thing that's been, it's also been in a lot of pop culture stuff.
Your mission, Ethan, should
then
you
they,
choose
you know,
to
then
accept
mind,
it?
As always, should you or any of your I am Force be caught, or IMF, as I say it now, be caught or killed.
Your I am Force.
Yes. That's how they refer it to. The security will disavow any of your knowledge of your actions, and then usually ends with this mission will self, or message will self-destruct in like 5 seconds or something like that.
It's so cool. That's like my favorite part of all these movies.
Yeah, they start all of it. Like, and they're they started every show like that, too.
And it's so creative.
And they've had, and then obviously the movies have had fun with that little thing too. They've definitely had fun with it.
I think is it in Rogue Nation where he like doesn't
explode and he tries to So they have a lot of fun with these. Obviously, those are basically honestly why it's probably like the most like known for and well known. I don't know if there's anything else before we get to the fun facts, which are actually probably one of the most interesting parts of this franchise.
It's in my head now. Like, it's not going to get out.
It gets stuck. It's a really good theme song.
It really is. Adrian, are you
I just think the name is just so dumb.
You know what? Kudos for them for sticking with it this entire time.
No, they haven't stuck with it because no one knows.
They haven't.
IMF stands for. We should put a poll. And
sadly, they don't because
guess to see what it stands for. They should have just like put it in their. Wait, which one is this? Is this five or is this six?
This is six.
I don't know. Their seventh one. They just got to say it like in the title.
Guys, have you ever thought that now that you're in Austin, Adrian, we need to go back to like a trivia because since we started this podcast, I feel like I know so much.
So they start off saying it. Obviously, they've gone away from it. They always say IMF now.
Wait. Hold up. So it's like mission, and then it has a semicolon, and then impossible. So like it's called. They're not even called impossible. They're not even called like mission impossible. Or what's the thing?
They're called impossible.
So they know they didn't stick with it because they switched up the words in like the title of the movies. They should have just been impossible mission force. Rogue Nation. Oh my god, that's such a better title.
I feel like the Japanese title
I'll look into that because I want to know if the Japanese titles did that as well because those are some of my favorites.
But I will say this, just switching one word, Mission Impossible sounds infinitely better than Impossible
Mission.
It really
does.
This was the 60s, that's what they came up with.
They didn't want to be myth?
I don't know.
I wonder if that's what happened. I wonder if they were just like trying to go with their acronym, and they're like, "We can't be the MIFs."
I mean, that's probably it. IMF is not a bad acronym sounding.
It's because you can't really make like a name or.
Well, that you pronounce your acronyms with like the three letter words. You don't call it this. The CIA. You call it the CIA.
CIA.
Well, I know, but some of the three letter ones get
clip it.
The what, Matt? The CIA. That's how I pronounce the CIA these days. It's called the CIA. I mean, no, they're not supposed to. They're supposed to be red. The letters are supposed to be red.
This episode is my favorite.
Y'all are a disgrace to this episode at this point.
I love you, and I love that you
I feel
love
like this point is
going to
be
Hunt.
Self-destructing at this point.
Is there anything else? I should have started out this episode with that.
What?
Your mission. Did you choose to accept it?
I thought about putting it in there, but I figured since I wanted to put why those to get in there, especially considering you guys apparently didn't know this thing it was even around. You thought it started in 1996.
Yes.
You guys actually probably thought it started.
Hey, sorry I wasn't alive during the 60s. Sorry the second TV show came out before I was born, or like ended before I was born.
You knew what the Bill Cosby show was.
Well, yeah, syndication.
I've literally never seen this show, like, even, like, on, like, the TMC or something. I've never seen it.
Yeah, like, I used to watch TV Land with my dad, and I've never seen this.
You would never see the Bill Cosby show unless you stay up to 6 a.m. either.
I've seen the Bill Cosby show.
No, they played it, like, right after Family Members and...
Family Members?
Family Matters and A Different World. They played it in that block.
Anything else before we get to these fun facts?
No, I want to get to the fun facts.
Okay, fun facts. There's actually quite a bit of them, and this is actually probably the most exciting part if you've made it through this far. There's actually quite a few video games that actually came out in the 90s for this. I don't know if anybody played them. I've actually beat...
No!
I beat the one from 1998 on the N64.
I played GoldenEye.
So, actually, GoldenEye came out in 97, and they basically kind of made it just like GoldenEye, and it's basically same thing as like GoldenEye, but it's actually Mission Impossible. It's a puzzle shooter game.
All I learned is mission. That I can't get mad about Americans remaking stuff now because they've been doing this forever.
The funny thing is, it's actually not that bad of a game. It actually sold over a million copies.
Do you have, like, your team with you?
No. It's all single player. It's a single player shooter puzzle game.
Oh.
And it was actually kind of hard because you couldn't, like, it wasn't one of those, you couldn't just go in there and shoot people because then you just failed.
Hmm. So I would not have liked that game.
No, it was actually hard. Obviously, Tom Cruise, in his own stunts, he actually climbed that rock climb and he actually jumped from Dubai.
See, this is really... Oh, you can continue saying
what he attached to the... They actually attached himself to that airplane flying, and apparently he's also attached to the new helicopter.
So, like, I don't like Tom Cruise for, like, personal stuff, but I just realized that Michael Benya is also a Scientologist, so...
I know, that's what's funny. Cool. Everybody yells about it, but I'm like, really?
Tom Cruise anymore?
Yeah.
Yes!
Michael Peña gives his acting career basically all the credit for his acting career to Scientology.
Can we go back and redo our Wasp review real quick so I can take back?
That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody, like, gets mad at Tom Cruise, but then when you start going down the list of, like, what actually celebrities believe in and do,
I just didn't know
like,
that people of color were Scientologists.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, so, like, that aside, even when I didn't like Tom Cruise because of,
when
like,
gonna
all
learn
this
just
other
enjoy your
stuff,
movie and enjoy the actors that play their
even,
good fake lives,
even
and that's
after
it.
All of the weird stuff, I will say this. Like, the fact that he's done all his own stunts is really freaking cool. And I also want to know how they make a very small man very tall in the movies.
Haven't figured
but
that one out.
He's also... I know you're going to say he's not jacked, but he's jacked, Adrian. You look at him without his shirt off, and he's still
Oh, he's shredded.
Good.
I don't know if that's jacked. He's shredded.
You don't have to be 6 foot tall to be jacked. You can, like, jacked to me is just muscles.
Okay.
He definitely shredded for being, like, 60-something years old.
He does not look like Russell Crowe, and he's older than Russell Crowe.
I've never seen Russell Crowe wasn't even jacked when he was in stuff.
Oh, no. I know. I'm just bringing
that
up.
No, it was just funny
because
of
the Mummy.
And they're the same age.
Yeah.
And then we looked at Tom Cruise, and then we looked at Russell Crowe, and you're like, damn, you've eaten your gladiator self.
God.
Anyway, no, I will say I do respect him for doing his own stunts, but I respect anybody who does his own stunts.
Well, he's one of the few, I mean, not that he's a few, but, like, considering some of the stunts that
a
he's
A lot
done,
of, like, high-profile movie stars don't do their own stunts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Considering, like, I'm not saying nobody else does, but considering some of the stunts that he has done, and what he does for how high profile, yeah.
Yeah. I just want to know if they do the thing that they do with Robert Downey Jr., where, like, Robert Downey Jr. in all of his scenes, he has an actual stage constructed on the stage.
I don't know.
For him to walk in to make
I
him
mean,
look
I wouldn't
taller.
Be surprised, because Tom Cruise basically right now, this is his baby, and he basically funds this, and this whole, like,
really?
Franchise was
That's
his
so
idea.
Cool!
This whole franchise was his idea in the first place.
Adrian! I want to make a movie and run it as my baby and do literally whatever I want because I fund the movie. That's kind of cool.
Are we going to put you on stilts?
He basically said in 1996, I want
to
make Mission Impossible.
Are we gonna put you on stilts?
Yeah.
Which gets it better. So, make fun
but
fact.
But I need that good Scientology
back
money.
To former Bay, who basically died out. Jeremy Renner, he actually, when he...
Did you just call him former Bay?
Yeah, he was the guy who always wanted to be a spy but will never be known as a spy. Will always be known as a spy that never could. So
Didn't
when he
also try to take over Bourne's
Yes,
thing?
If you'd let me read this thing. So he signed on for that third movie, or the fourth movie, for Tom Cruise, and basically he was going to take over for the movies as the lead when Tom Cruise left, but then Tom Cruise said, nah, it's never going to happen, man. I'm Tom Cruise. And so Jeremy Renner just basically struck this deal. He's not even in the sixth one. I basically done. He also did the same thing with the Bourne series. He was supposed to take over for Matt Damon, but apparently his movie didn't do as well, even though I think it's a little underrated, but I can understand why people didn't like it. And then they went back to Matt Damon. So Jeremy
And now people just shit on Hawkeye? Like, Jeremy
yeah,
Renner can't
that's
catch
what I'm
a break?
He had his good moments and his good years, and you're ready for him to take off, and he was just waiting in the wing, and then everybody said, nah, we're going to keep playing.
Why are all of these other white action stars taking my spot? I can't get in.
Yeah. So that's what happened to Jeremy Renner.
Aww. So is that why he's former Bay? Who's current Bay, though?
Benedict, as always.
Okay.
We got this.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
How dare you? Anyways, so the third movie, basically because he went to go, Tom Cruise said he wanted to go make World of War, and he actually does everything with this. He put the whole entire movie on pause, and so Simon Pegg was actually supposed
Wait,
to be
what movie?
Mission Impossible 3.
Okay.
Tom Cruise was supposed to go he starred in War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. Yes. Yes, okay.
So he put this movie on pause because obviously he does whatever he wants with his movies. And basically, so Ricky Gervais was actually supposed to play the role of Simon Pegg, but because it got backed up, he left. And Scarlett Johansson was actually supposed to be in this movie as well, and she left.
Huh. So just because he was like, nah, I'm going to go do this other
movie. Yeah, so there's actually a few other people, but those are probably the two big
names.
Yeah, I think Kenneth Bennett was supposed to be in it as well.
Kenneth Branagh?
I think Bennett. I think maybe Branagh. But I thought it was Bennett. I don't know. There's a few other ones that were all supposed to be in this movie, and they all left because of the thing.
Damn.
Which gets back to J.J. Abrams. So basically, Tom Cruise bent all of Alias, and he loved the show, and then he offered him the directing job of Mission Impossible 3.
That's so cool!
And that's how J.J. Abrams got his first directing gig.
So ultimately, Mission Impossible 3 happened because Tom Cruise really, really liked this movie about a female spy made by J.J.
TV show.
This TV show about a female spy.
And so he literally hired, he called up J.J. Abrams and said, hey, you want to direct my movie Mission Impossible 3? And that's basically J.J. Abrams like,
awesome. I don't want that kind of money, guys.
And that was J.J. Abrams' first directing.
You know how many shows I binge?
That was his first movie.
That's really cool.
That he got a job. Speaking of Mission Impossible 3, they did a viral marketing ploy where they used like the theme song and audio players back in the day. Like this is like mid-2000. They put them in like the little vending boxes with LA Time, but of course they became loose and started playing and they looked like bombs and it confused everybody for bombs. So they kept having all these bomb threats in which actually the police actually blew up one of the newspaper stands for a precaution.
What year did Mission Impossible 3 come out in?
I think 2006.
Okay.
So yeah. Which leads to the very best one, the most changing thing of Mission Impossible, probably why it matters the most. So that affected all the movies in 2000. Ian McKellen was offered a gig to play in Mission Impossible 2 that eventually went to Anthony Hopkins, but they only sent him part of the script, so he wasn't sure if it was any good, and so he actually declined the script and then was offered Magneto and then Gandalf the next day.
What? That's
cool. So essentially, if he actually accepts that gig, we have a different Magneto and Gandalf.
I could not picture anybody in real life as Magneto other than Ian McKellen.
And I'm kind of glad because that movie was awful. And I like Anthony Hopkins, but I hate that movie.
That's super cool.
So the fun facts of this is actually pretty cool.
It's really good.
I don't know.
Good job.
The franchise itself is basically, like I said, known for the theme song, basically the people making fun of the acronym, and the self-destruct missions. The movies are cool. I mean, except they're not like these huge, they definitely don't make like bank like a lot of other movies.
But it doesn't matter because Tom Cruise is just going to keep making them until he gets tired.
Yeah, Tom Cruise already said he's going to keep playing Ethan Hunt until he gets bored. So there's going to probably be another one.
Are we going to get like a 70-year-old Ethan Hunt?
Possibly.
Adrian, your face. Let it
You're
out.
Just going to get shorter and then they're going to give him bigger stilts. That's all that's going to happen.
J.J. Abrams got his first break from Tom Cruise off of Alias because he liked it.
Yeah, it's...
We almost missed out on Simon Pegg. We almost missed out on
really,
Gandalf.
It's really hard to be a rich white guy with money. He's so generous with his white man money. Just because I was curious, too. Sean Connery, Patrick Stewart, Christopher Plummer were all offered the role of Gandalf, but they'd all turned it down. And then Sam Neill was considered before Ian McKellen took the job. Just for your own curiosity.
Damn.
And no, I could not find any alternate Japanese titles for
Magneto's
Mission Impossible, unfortunately. So there is no like Mission Impossible Sky Mission or anything like that.
Aw, but that would be so good.
But has any other movie made the police blow up a newspaper stand? For precaution. Because marketing gone bad.
That's crazy.
I actually do remember hearing about that, but I didn't remember the extent of what it actually was, because obviously that was like 12 years at this point.
Gosh.
So that's about all I have for this. Fun facts. Last thoughts, I guess, of anything?
Go into Scientology, make a lot of money, make your own movies.
He had a lot more money before he went to Scientology. Tom Cruise has been starring in movies since like the 80s. Okay, He made money off Top Gun and stuff.
Scientology requires you give them money. So make a lot of money, give it to Scientology. It'll then save your acting career or give you more acting juices a la Michael Peña or Tom Cruise. Then get more money and then make any movie you want.
To be fair, there's actually quite a bit of female celebrities that are also in Scientology that we've kind of like forgot to skip over.
The only one I know is the woman from Mad Men. Who's now in Handmaid's
Obviously,
Tales.
We have some people who've left now, so they type thing. But it,
which is
but,
insane, because...
But it's still
like,
funny that they
the
were there in the first
Handmaid's
place.
The woman from Handmaid's Tales is a Scientologist, and Scientology is known for... Yeah, the main
in
character.
Movie, in Handmaid's? Isn't that like... Is that like meta?
Yeah.
Like, she just...
Yeah! that's what I was about to say. Like, Scientology is known for abusing people inside of it and controlling everything they do.
I was born for this role.
And... I was born into this.
Yeah, before, as I say, before you scapegoat all the other people, there's a bunch of...
I didn't scapegoat all the other people. I just said Tom Cruise, because he's like the most notable like Scientologist, and Michael Peña, it shattered my heart.
He's the poster boy. So what are you expecting for... I haven't watched any of the movies, Matt. Like, what are you expecting for this next movie that you're going to be seeing, or have already seen?
Based on the trailers, I'm actually really excited for this movie. I was more excited for this movie based on the trailers than Ant-Man and the Wasp, I can tell you that much.
Adrian's face.
I mean, I didn't watch that, man.
I actually enjoy the movie.
But I do like, I mean, this trailer looked like dumb. He got hit by a truck and like flew off a motorcycle and is obviously going to be alive. Like, that's like peak dumb action movie garbage. And then what's his face like punches a wall? Like, I live for that kind of stuff. Like, he punches through a wall. So, like, when I was watching, like, are they going just stupid now, or has it always been like this?
I don't know if it's been... It definitely hasn't been Fast and the Furious stupid. Like, at least some of the stuff has been, like, over the top, especially the last few movies, but as far as, like, this outrageous, looks... I'm gonna flex my muscle to break
he
out of a
he gets hit by a truck
reach fell.
On a motorcycle with no helmet
well,
on.
The other ones before this. He said the other ones before this, Adrian.
I can tell you this much. I bet I can pull up more people who've been hit by a truck on a motorcycle and live than people who've broken a cast with their by flexing.
I was more thinking about The Rock fucking picking up his
or a missile.
What is it? It's that jail scene where he's like staring at Jason Statham and The Rock just like breaks.
Yeah, that was his superhero moment. He went full superhero in that movie. But I'm just wondering, like, is this going to be more, if it is, like, more over the top than ridiculous, because it does look more over the top than ridiculous. Like, the fight, what's the guy's name?
Yeah.
Kate? Yeah, like, that fight looks like The Rock and Vin Diesel fighting. Like, that's what that fight reminded me of. Especially with, like, the gun loading flex thing.
It's so
like,
good, though, Adrian.
That's some over the top fight scenes right there.
Actually, we'll see what it is.
Like, I will say this, though. I feel like we're going back. Like, I feel like we had this piece where we were trying to do, like, smart action movies. And, like, the stupid ones were super stupid and didn't really go into theaters that much because they were all sequels. But, like, I feel like now we're getting back to, like, the early 90s, 80s action hero. Like, action hero. He is an actual hero. And we're going to do ridiculous things. Which I feel like... Dwayne Johnson ushered in.
I said the third one probably was pretty cool with stuff. It wasn't over the top. The first three aren't over the top. Well, the second one's has a few moments.
I didn't think Rogue Nation was over the top.
The Rogue Nation actually probably one of the most grounded ones.
Rogue Nation actually had a really good story.
Yeah, Rogue Nation actually is pretty praised because it's like one of the most grounded ones they've had. And they kind of went back because I think Protocol was a little over the top. So I don't know. It's
they
one of those.
All blend in my head, but.
So they're going to be one of those, because I did talk about when I was doing these notes about that, of what they were talking about, like, between Mission Impossible and James Bond, how basically James Bond's kind of come up, and whether they're going to go back, grounded, back to what they're doing, and the same thing with, like, this show and what we're going to see, because Rogue Nation was kind of more of the grounded version of Protocol.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Dun.
I mean, it's also hard for me to argue about it when Tom Cruise does his own stunts and he's still alive. Can't tell me, there's no way he'd be on the side of a plane when he jumped on the side of that plane. Didn't have a harness, but at least he hung on and didn't let go.
I give him that.
So, I don't know. We'll just have to see. Obviously, we'll find out probably about a day or so after this comes out. So, probably by
we'll
time...
We'll find out tonight the day this comes out.
Yes. But
and then I'll have a review up for you to read.
Yes.
At butwhythepodcast.com.
Will you just wrap this damn show up? Come on.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry I laughed a lot, Matt, but I actually learned a lot, and I'm even more excited to go see Mission Impossible Fallout. So, yeah, thank you for joining us. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it. It really helps other people find us. And you can find me at @OhMyMythRandeer on Twitter. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93. And I'm going to go YouTube some of the TV show episodes. I'm going to try and find them there because I'm curious what the TV show looks like after Matt explained. Because that sounded really interesting to me. I thought that premise sounded cool.
Dang it, that's what I forgot to talk about. Son of a bitch.
What?
So, within the TV show, which made it pretty cool, was all the main cast basically had their own roles. So, they all had, like, basically, Greg Morris was an engineer and whatnot. And so, he was an engineer and, like, had their own specialized skills, like I said. And, like, Cinnamon over here basically was, like, a fashion model slash a high, like, so she ended up being a con artist and whatnot. And as they were replaced, they basically had somebody come in and they basically had the same profession and same skills.
Yeah. So I can definitely see how people would get mad that Tom Cruise is just the face of your franchise when they have like this kind of ensemble of cast kind of thing. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Well, that's what's been cool about the last few ones they've done. Like I said, so Simon Pegg has now like obviously been in there. Vin Rames has actually been through all of it, so he was there as well. So they've kind of now like got this like not really an ensemble, but kind of pretty close of like a team. Versus, especially compared to like.
And Rogue Nation was super teamy. Yeah. It was extremely team based.
Considering the first two, like I said, they kind of go. They get. Once Benji's introduced or Simon Pegg, they definitely start going to the team wise. The first two movies, it's basically Vin Rames and Tom Cruise. Okay.
It's in my head.
Well, quit. We're trying to record.
Well, Matt.
What?
We're already wrapping up.
Okay.
Tell them where to find you.
You can find me on Twitter. I'll be making a Wonder Woman thread.